ヘブル人への手紙11章1節から6節までお読みします。
信仰は望んでいる事柄を保証し、目に見えないものを確信させるものです。昔の人々はこの信仰によって称賛されました。信仰によって私たちはこの世界が神の言葉で作られたことを悟り、したがって見えるものが目に見えるものからできたのではないことを悟るのです。信仰によってアベルはカインよりも優れた生贄を神に捧げ、その生贄によって彼が義人であることの証明を得ました。神が彼の捧げ物を良い捧げ物だと証ししてくださったからです。彼は死にましたが、その信仰によって今もなお語っています。信仰によってエノクは死を見ることのないように移されました。神に移されて見えなくなりました。移される前に彼は神に喜ばれていることが証しされていました。信仰がなくては神に喜ばれることはできません。神に近づく者は神がおられることと、神を求める者には報いてくださる方であることを信じなければならないのです。
Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everyone doing? Just to remind everyone, today is Rachel's last Sunday with us. She's going to go to seminary in Canada. I always get like the details wrong. It's in Canada. Liberty or... Trinity! Oh, that was my first guess, but I overthought it. Trinity Seminary. She's going to study language there. And this is going to be her last Sunday with us. Make sure you say bye to her. Kind of sad to see a lot of people leave. Of course, we just saw Mariko leave not too long ago. Lenny and Sarah, man. It's good to see them leave on a good note, though, yes. next week, I do want to say next week is a curry lunch fundraiser for Shuyokai. And so please have that in mind as you come to church next Sunday to help support the ladies who are going to go to Shuyokai, which are Tamao, Etsuko-san, and Misae-san. And Sonoko-san is going in. Oh, great. And Juna.
And we'll pick Reiko
up. Okay, and they're going to pick Reiko up. So curry luncheon is next. Curry lunch fundraiser is next week. We've been going through Hebrews, as Phil mentioned earlier. And we're in Hebrews 11 today. And Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. Most of you may have heard that term, the Hall of Faith, because it has a bunch of names from past that were known for their faith. And it starts off with the passage, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen, for by it the people of old received their commendation." Faith is here sort of given a definition, what faith is. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And to give this a little bit of context, first of all, the writer of Hebrews isn't talking to non-believers. His audience is believers. So it's interesting that he would define faith to believers. You know, they have faith. Don't they have faith? Don't you need to be a believer? Don't you need faith to be a believer? Then why is he telling them what faith is? But if we go into context in chapter 10, we see maybe why he's explaining what faith is. In chapter 10, the writer of Hebrew is exhorting the people to not throw away their faith. The end of the chapter says to the believers, do not throw away the confidence which you have in God, which has a great reward. That's 10:35. He also mentions that Jesus' return is imminent. It will happen. It will happen, and we might not know when it will happen, but it will happen. And we could take that in a couple of different ways, right? We could take that as Jesus is going to return the second coming, but also that Jesus' visitation may be right around the corner. And what I mean by that is his presence is so strong that it can only be described as Jesus has come. Have you ever been in that kind of environment before? Or heard of something of that nature, where the presence of God is so strong that it can only be described as Jesus' presence? But Jesus' return is imminent. The writer of Hebrews is saying that his return is imminent, and that there are real consequences for those who shrink back or throw away their confidence, throw away their faith. That is the context of perhaps not just chapter 10, but throughout the book of Hebrews, he's saying, hold on a little bit longer. Don't throw it away. There's a great reward. Enter in. Find that rest that is in God. If you notice in chapter 11, he uses the word now. Faith is now. It is a now faith. Now faith is. It is present. It is active. Faith isn't something that you put something in a long time ago. Some of us, when we think of our faith, we think of the time in VBS where we raised our hand and say, I want to receive Jesus in my life. And sure, that was faith then, but faith is now. It is continually believing. It isn't something that happened in the past. It is present and it is active. So there is the idea and perhaps the possibility that this faith can be thrown away or stagnant or something in the past, if you know what I mean. Some people, they put their faith in God in 2010, and now it's 2018 and it's no longer active. It's no longer present. It was something in the past. But faith, true faith in Jesus Christ, is something that is present and is active. How is your faith today? You're like, well, I'm hearing right now. Well, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. How's your faith today? Faith is assurance of things hoped for, convictions of things not seen. Did you pick that? It's the conviction of things not seen. Faith is something that comes by hearing, the Bible says. Not by seeing. It originates by hearing. Faith comes from hearing. Currently, we live in a world where the seen, tangible, is more valuable than the unseen. But the Bible says, you know, the unseen is actually more real, more valuable, more precious than what is seen. And here, faith is a conviction of things not seen. We put a lot of value in things that we could measure, that we could count, that we could see, we could touch, we could feel. But in God's economy, in the world and reality that God is in, the unseen has more value, is more precious. Sort of like farming. You know, in Jesus, when he taught, a lot of times he used agricultural kind of imagery to explain the spiritual. And he says, in agricultural terms, what is important is what goes underneath just as much as what comes up. In fact, nothing will come up if there's nothing underneath. And so you put a seed in there, and you wait, and you water it, and you make the condition just so that something can come up. But what comes up is a byproduct of what is unseen. And so here in the spiritual realm, what is more important is the unseen more than the seen. What is in your heart? What is in your mind? What is going on underneath the surface that we cannot count, measure, weigh, etc., etc.? Faith is one of those things that is unseen. Although, not to brag, but I've seen faith before. I've seen it. You guys want to know my story? It's kind of weird. It's a weird story. You guys might think I'm weird. Anyways, okay, I'm going to tell you my weird story, if that's okay. So, we were at this service, and it was one of those weird services where they heal people, you know, one of those weird services. I like going to those services, personally. I like those. And they were calling out things like they do, you know, things that God wants to heal. And one of those things that they called out was, you know, someone's back was hurting or something. And a lot of people stood up. And I was in the back and I was just watching. And I saw something. It was almost like superimposed. Like I saw, like, maybe it was just you know, you have those squiggly things in your eyes sometimes. It looked like one of those things. And I'm like, I think that person's going to get healed. And then, you know, when they said, did anyone get healed? And that person raised their hand. It was one of those things. It was invisible. It wasn't, like, tangible. If I said, hey, I see something, probably nobody else would have saw it. They would have thought I was seeing things. But it's one of those things. And I say that because I think Jesus had one of those types of experiences where he could see faith. He says, I could see your faith, that you have the faith to be healed kind of thing. But anyways, faith, in most part, is unseen. We can't really see it. We don't know what's going on underneath. We certainly can measure what is producing. What we measure is what faith produces. And so, if your life is producing the fruit of the Spirit, we know you have your faith in the right place. But if your life is producing things contrary to the fruit of the Spirit, perhaps your faith is in something else. It's a little bunny trail. But faith is the confidence, the convictions of things not seen. Moving on in verse 3, it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Again, faith comes by hearing. By the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible. You know, one of the most important things about faith is where we put it. Where have you put your faith? It's not like people just don't have faith. It's a matter of where you put your faith. Everyone has faith in something. It's a matter of where you put your faith. And here, and throughout Scripture, it's interesting that God oftentimes reveals himself as the creator. He is the creator of this world, of heaven and earth. He is the one that is God in the sense of, I made everything. And he's saying, I made everything out of nothing. And throughout antiquity, throughout time, that has been disputed, whether it's through other religions and whether it's through scientism. It's always been disputed how the world came to being and how we actually got here. And God constantly, it's a common theme throughout Scripture, is, I'm the one that made this. I'm the one that put you here.
Right.
Now, how that happened certainly is, I believe, up to debate. I'm not going to say I know exactly how that happened, But one thing is for sure, he always says, I am the one that did it. I am the creator. Again, this claim has been disputed, is being disputed, will be disputed. One thing for sure, it will be disputed. But God has said, I am the one that created this thing. But not only is he the creator, but how he created it is, I believe, praiseworthy. He spoke this world into existence out of nothing. He said, this world was created by the word of God. He spoke it into existence. Did you know that God's word is so powerful that out of nothing he could create something? And that is why I believe faith is so important, to understand the word of God. What did God speak to you? Because when he speaks to you, oftentimes it's not there, and it's contrary to what you think can be there. But God, when he speaks to you, can creatively make something in your life that you thought was impossible to be there, just like this world. But even in your life, when God speaks, it will be contrary to what's there. But when he speaks, and that faith, you catch on to it, it will be creatively manifest in your life. That's what faith is. It's so powerful it could create the world, and it is so powerful it could change your life. If you have faith in it, if you put your faith in it. Once again, putting aside the emphasis on what is seen. Putting that aside. Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of many nations. What did he have to put aside? Everything that could be seen. What was seen? His age. He was in his 90s. Sarah was in her 80s. Okay, I have to put that aside. Sarah was barren. They've tried having children. I have to put that aside. He had to put a lot of things aside to say, okay, God, I believe you that you're going to make me a father of many nations. And he believed it, and it took about 10 years for him to actually see it happen. And we'll cover that later, but jumping ahead. So faith is, we have to emphasize putting aside what is seen and put our emphasis on the unseen, because that is more valuable in the economy of heaven than what is seen. Again, faith comes through hearing and not seeing. Did you hear his voice today? Have you taken time to hear his voice today? It's important to hear his voice, to recognize his voice, and to hold on to what he's saying, because that is now faith. Back when you first became a believer, you heard his voice and you responded positively. But now faith is continuing to hear his voice and holding on to what he's saying. He is not through with your life yet. Even you, Kenji, at 105 years old, he is not through. I'm not just kidding. He is not done with your life yet. He is not through with your life. By faith, verse 4, Abel offered to God. And so here, now the writer of Hebrews is going to begin to name all these people in this hall of faith. And I want to just take some time to look at their lives. What aspect of faith is the writer of Hebrews trying to draw out by bringing up these names? By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gift. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. Now let me just stop there. It's interesting that Adam or Eve isn't mentioned in this list. I believe they're in heaven. I believe they made it. I believe there are great people in heaven, but Adam and Eve are not mentioned as the slaves. And my personal opinion isn't that they didn't make it, but my personal opinion is because they didn't need that faith necessarily to believe in God, because they actually physically interacted with God. They saw Him on a physical, quote unquote, physical level, and they didn't need that faith to see, to interact with Him. That's why I don't think Adam and Eve is there. But so they jump to their kids, Cain and Abel. They go to the first two worshipers that didn't see God. And what happens in this story? Now, again, they're both worshipers. They're both worshipers. They both came to bring an offering. So you got to kind of speculate, well, then they both had faith, right? Yes? No? You can't go to God if you don't have faith. Why would you bring an offering if you didn't have faith? But Abel, Cain and Abel, they're presented to us, and they both bring an offering. So meaning they both believe that there is a God. And both bringing an offering, Abel brings a more acceptable offering. In fact, Abel's offering, God was pleased with, and God accepted it. And Cain's offering, God didn't accept it. And it got Cain angry, upset, to the point where he kills Abel. Now, we have to kind of speculate, because the story doesn't really say why his was more pleasing. Other than what we have here today in Hebrews is faith. There was a faith aspect that Abel had that Cain didn't have. There was a faith aspect that Abel had that Cain didn't have. Any guesses? No, just kidding. I'm not going to... Well, we might get into a fight if we open it up for discussion. So I'm just going to tell you what I think it is, because I have the mic. No, but one, I do think both of them believe that God exists. In fact, Cain, when he didn't bring something that God accepted, guess what? It wasn't that God stays silent in his life. God actually visits Cain and says, Cain, sin is crouching at your door. If you don't master it, it's going to overtake you. So God even speaks to Cain. So Cain, for sure, knows that God exists. It's not about the intellectual belief or even the strong belief that God exists. James said, the devil and his angels, the demons, they know God exists. But there was something about Abel, his offering, that was better than Cain's offering. And I believe it has to do with faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Perhaps Abel heard from God, Abel, this is what I want you to bring. How did Abel hear from God and Cain didn't? Well, I think it comes out in this next and last passage we'll be looking at. The last passage we'll be looking at. I'm going to skip over Enoch for today, if that's okay. Don't worry, for those of you who want to hear about Enoch, I have a lot to say about Enoch. But today we'll skip through Enoch and just stick with Cain and Abel. But what did Abel had that Cain didn't? Here in this last verse, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so I'm saying both of them had a certain amount of faith. But here I think is the kicker. For whoever would draw near to God must do two things. Believe and exist. Believe that he exists. And the second part is just as important. Because they both have believed that he exists, right? Cain and Abel, they believed he exists, that God exists. This second part is very important. And this second part, I think, is something that you and I, we need to really consider. The second part in that he rewards those, in, don't get stuck on the reward part for a second. I know we all love the reward part. I love the reward part, but don't get stuck there for a second. He rewards those that seek him. And again, some of us, well, I'm here, right? Yeah, that's like the wife asking the husband, do you love me? And the husband replies, well, I'm here, right? It's like, come on. What is that? Well, I'm here, right? Yeah, you're here. Great. I'm so glad you're here. I really am. And I'm sure God is glad you're here. But before you came here, and I was thinking about this in my own head, and I gotta admit, a lot of times when I come here, I'm like on cruise control. Get here and make the coffee, if I have to worship practice, make sure I practice. You know, these lists, I check it off. I'm not really seeking in the term that we can seek God. I'm not really expecting in the way that we should be expecting God. Did you come here with great expectation, or are you here because you love me so much? Sorry, because you love God so much. Why are you here? To worship, yes. Do you have a seeking attitude still? Do you still desire God so much that even before you come here, you're seeking him? You know, the unseen attitude of a person, I believe, is so valuable in God's eyes. It's true with anything, right? It's true with anything. It's true with any organization group. Sure, you want people there, but there are certain people you want there because they add so much to the group. And then there's people that you kind of don't want there, that there. No, just kidding. But in every group, you know, certainly you want people to come, but then there's certain people, if they don't show up, it's just going to be a lot harder. I believe it's the same for when we worship. There are people that just show up, and then there are people that shows up and adds so much more to the group. And let me just say, I'm still speaking of unseen things. I'm not talking about if I don't show up, oh, it's not going to go well because I'm the one that brings a sermon. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, oh, if so-and-so doesn't show up, then this and that won't get done. That's not what I'm talking about, because those things you could actually measure and count and weigh and stuff like that. Those things still have value, a lot of value in the seen world. I'm talking about in the unseen world still. There are people here that shows up and in their beneath unseen thing adds so much to the group because they are true seekers of God, true worshipers, not just believe in God, but they seek him. They seek him. And there's a reward to that. But true worshipers, they seek him. Even before they walk through the door, there's something going on behind the scene that only God and that person knows what was going on. That is what Abel brought to the table, opposed to what Cain brought to the table. And if we're not careful, if we go into cruise control, if we just bring what we think in all, you know, I've been doing church for 20 years now. I know what to do. People with those kinds of attitude, it's very presumptuous. It's very prideful. What goes before a fall? Pride goes before a fall. If we think we know, if we think it should go this, and that way, we're coming into a place of worship, not with faith, but with pride. something God despises. And so it's important to realize what faith is. Now faith is the assurance of things. And without it, it's impossible to please God, because whoever would draw near to God, first, we must believe He exists. And I believe, and if you're here, and if you're here to worship God because you love God, you have that part down, great. That's the first step. That is the first and most important step. But there's another step we need to take. The step that Abel took was, I believe, he sought God in, what do you want, God? I want to come and worship, but I don't want to just come and worship. I want to give what you want. And God told, I believe God told Abel, here, Abel, bring me this. And so as Abel and Cain went to worship, Cain looked at Abel and said, Abel, what are you bringing? Why are you bringing that? And Abel said, well, I believe God brought me, told me to do this. And when they both worshiped, they both offered, and they both sacrificed, both of them, I believe, both sacrificed. They both sacrificed. God did something to Abel's offering that incited anger with Cain. What's going on? Like, didn't I... God, I'm here. Ain't I here? You know? Faith. I can't see it. Right now, I'm not saying I can't see it because you don't have it. You know, we can't see it. Most of us, we are not going to be able to measure that. Certainly, I could measure how much you bring to the table in terms of helping, and I love that. Personally, I love that so much. The people that helps, that people helps with music, helps with cleanup, helps with all this other stuff. I truly love that, but you know what? You're not here to try to get my praise. You're here to try to get God's acceptance. And what God sees is a whole lot different than what I see. Because God sees what's in your heart. Have you brought what God wants? Are you a true seeker of Him that just not only believes He exists, but He richly rewards those who seek Him? Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and Your mercy, Your love, Your patience, Your kindness. Father, for those of us who have been putting church on cruise control, we just want to come and say, forgive us, Lord. Sorry, Lord, if that's what we've been doing. Father, we want to bring You fresh worship every day, especially on Sundays where we decided to come together. We pray that we could bring an attitude of seeking, an attitude of worship, an attitude of expectation, a confidence, a worship, an offering that You will be pleased with. Not how well we sing, not how great things go, but our heart and our attitudes would have the faith that pleases You. We thank You so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Uh,